we have been taking systematically some of the basic truths of Scripture, and I've tried to paint this picture of us driving down this highway, and we pull off into the Jesus rest stop. Remember? And we talked about our faith and how damaged our faith was, and we pull in there and we're limping and all, and we're like, wow, you know, I got a ways to go. I can't get there with this bomb, you know. You know, what's going to happen? And then I talked about how it's important that we open up ourselves to those who have been set above us to help us make the repairs or make the necessary arrangements to get us fixed up and ready to move back down on the highway of life, right? How many of us are astute enough to understand that the Jesus pit stop, where is the Jesus pit stop? Do you understand what the Jesus pit stop is? It's your church. It's your church. It's what it is. If what you do is, I attend church once in a blue moon, your life will reflect that. If you don't let people speak into your life, your life will also reflect that too. If you do not do the necessary work to help get this vehicle moving in the right direction, your life will reflect that also. All of us are in dire need. And when we come together, there is a synergistic energy that is here. I can sense the electricity today. Of what I come in here and I'm praising God. You know? I know what God wants to do and I want to see Him do it. I want to see Him cut loose through His people in such a way that not only this hall be filled up, but we fill the true sanctuary out there and do church plants, be involved in missions and sending our people and teams out into the mission field to help those who are in need. Open up our facility to train them who are living in those lands. As Ezekiel says, teach them how to fish from the rivers of En-Gedi. The nations will come here because there is anointing here that you have not been willing to receive. And part of that is because you really don't understand what God is calling you. And it is our job as we go down the highway of life to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are traveling down this highway, bypassing the Jesus rest stops, not aware that maybe this next turn that they come into their life may be the last turn of their life. And last week I said that there are three important questions we should be asking ourselves. One is, do I really love God? Do you love God? Then live it. Our life should be a reflection of that relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Not some sort of quasi-feeling and just some sort of thing that if God does this, then I'll respond to that. If I love God, that should be embedded into your heart. Because there was a person who was facing the hostility of her faith against all odds, and she died for it. Because if you really love God, there is no place of loving yourself. And that's the truth. We have become empty so that we could be filled with him. You see, our job is to reveal the heart of Jesus Christ sacrificially. Does my speech, my attitude, my behavior reveal the Father's heart to those in desperate search for it, and does it reveal something less? Am I sanctified? It's a great word. Jesus said, if you love brother, sister, mother, father more than me, you are not worthy of his kingdom. If your attitude is such that I can play around with a little bit of sin because it's okay, because I'm trying to win this one, but you're not equipped to win that one, and your life is causing things of distress in your household, that when the Holy Spirit came and filled your house, if anybody is trying to be disruptive in your house, they are being used by Satan to take you away from your Father. They're trying to destroy your relationship. They're trying to destroy everything that is going on that is good and wholesome and holy and pure. Am I allowing Jesus to be God incarnate through me? And we talked a little bit about, if you can wrap your mind around that simple fact that Jesus came and took on flesh, and he was referred to as God incarnate. Now he wants to return, and he is within us, because if we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the fullness of the Godhead dwells where? In us. And so Jesus wants to come out of our flesh. He wants to be God incarnate through us. And some of us are in very difficult times. Some of us are in distressing situations. But I want to bring us back to some of the rudiments of faith. There's going to be a lot of scripture here. Psalm 46, 10, 11 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What that scripture is saying is, are you so busy about what's going on in your life and you doing things to make your life busy, are you stopping what you're doing and spending time with him? Because if your life is busy, remember I said the acronym of busy is being under Satan's yoke. If you're too busy for God, then why would God want to do anything for you? He does. He wants to. And what we do is we display attitudes. We speak words, and our lifestyle is not conducive to that which is lining up of being a person of holiness, of faith, because we have compromised our sanctification. Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. What are you fighting? What are you fighting? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're spiritual. They're powerful. They're given to us to pull down strongholds. Our enemy is not the person that is sitting next to us or in our family. It is the spirit that is driving this person to live that lifestyle contrary to what Jesus Christ has told us to be. And we fight God because he wants to come out of us. He wants to reveal the Father's heart through us. And all I hear from people is, I can't stand much more of this. There's a lot of pressure. You just don't understand, Pastor. I'm trying to simplify my life, but you know, I gotta do this. And I sit there and say, what's God been saying to you? I don't know. Well, maybe you're so busy trying to do His job that maybe you might want to just stop trying to do His job and do the job that He's told you to do, and that is to sit at His feet, be still, and know that I am God, and I'm going to fight for you. Psalm 81:11 says, for God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give peace and grace and glory. No good thing will He uphold from those who walk uprightly. The question is, are you uprightly? Are you walking in righteousness? Not yours, His. You see, you are a representative of Jesus Christ. And if you are saying, thinking, doing things that are contrary to revealing the Father's heart, you may not be in Jesus Christ. At least for that moment. And these are simple but profound truths that we kind of jettison off to the side because we have this kind of Yahoo Christianity out there that says, I can go anywhere I want, I can do anything I want, I can say whatever I want, and people have to love me because that's God. I hate to break it to you. No family operates from that. While you're in your Father's house, could you act and behave and do the things that you wanted to do without consequences? It's no different than in our Father's house. It's no different. And yet, He knows our condition and He loves us tremendously. And I am amazed by how much He loves us. Especially me, as much of a worm that I was and still have to go, He loves me. And thereby I have grown in my relationship with Him that when I come here, whether it's here or someplace else, I can worship God and tell Him how much I love Him because I appreciate. I have a heart of thankfulness of everything that He has done for me. Let's turn to Acts 1:8. Everybody should know this scripture. This is one of the last things that the Lord said to the disciples before He ascended to heaven. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Have you received power? Is the question. If you have received power, then are you dead? Because that word witness, the root means to martyr. That's what that word. He has given you the power to put your flesh to death so that His eternal life can come through you and you be a witness. Turn to Revelation 12:11. My leaders know this one. This is our battle cry. And He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of testimony. And they did not love their lives even unto death. Point you back to the three questions. Do you love God? You know, Pastor, I love God. You know. That's how Peter acted. You know, Lord, I love you. Why are you asking me this stuff? You know, come on. You know, I'm feeling you, dude. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, man. Okay, get me a little upset here because you're asking me what I love. The love of God that He's looking for us is to reflect that love back to Him that He's given to us. That's what He's looking for. And our battle cry, and I give this to let you chew on, is you may be overcoming ever so gradually in your life because you painted yourself into a corner and you have no other place but to turn around and face God. You have been cleansed from all your sin. You have been set free from all your sin by the blood of the Lamb. But I tell you, you love your life more than you love Jesus Christ. And they did not love their lives even unto death. And you've all heard the story I've told many times about when I was talking with this guy about Christ and he pulled a gun out and he wanted to blow my head off and the hammer clicked and nothing happened. I was already dead. You can't kill a dead man twice. Try it. See. If he's dead, he's dead, right? You can't kill Jesus a second time. He died once. He's alive forevermore. And he's alive in us. And so what I want to do today is, this is all prep. What I want to do today is really get you to understand indwelling and infilling. When I confessed Jesus Christ, let's do it this way. Nolan, when you confess Jesus Christ, what happened? The day of your salvation, what happened? Okay. Everything was lifted off. What else? You're born on date. Should never matter. You should never forget what he did for you. And that's the reason why you can't worship him, because you forgot. That may sound tough and bold, but I'm trying to shake you to a reality. We should never forget, because that's part of our testimony. I've served the Lord for 30 years. I can tell you exactly what happened the day I got born again. Can you? I can share my testimony as to what he has done. Can you? Do you love your life or do you love his life? I love his life because the life I lived was bringing me down and taking me to hell. The moment I got saved, the moment I received Jesus Christ, my spirit was regenerated. Amen? All the Father, all the Jesus, and all of the Holy Spirit came and ignited my spirit. And now they live there. They make residence there. Do they live in you? And I'm singing that song. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, dwells in you. And in this relationship, that once I confess that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, three unmitigated facts have come to us. One, God is for us. Do you believe this? He is for us. That God is with us. Do you believe this? And God is in us. Those are three facts that cannot go away. But that is only him dwelling in us. That's indwelling. They take residence up within me. And because of this present relationship that I have with him, I now cannot be defeated. Because in God and those who are in God, there is no defeat. All is predestined for us is victory. We are called overcomers. because he overcame the world and the grave for us. So that if we die, what's the Bible say? Right. So if we die, we're already there. What is our eternal position in Jesus Christ? We sit in heavenly places at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. And I could go on and on and on. Jesus said in John 14:17, he said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit is already in us. I think that the thing that happens that makes it so confusing is we don't know what indwelling does, and we don't know what infilling does. When we become saved, He indwells us. When we become baptized in His Spirit with power, He does something else. Do you know the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Some of you may not know that. Do you expect the Holy Spirit to come walking through the door and says, "Hi, Kimmy, I'm the Holy Spirit. How you doing?" Do you expect that? Amen. He's here. I don't expect him to walk through the door. Nor do I need to give him a special invitation. That invitation was received. God gave us the invitation. He said, for us to be successful, we need to receive the gift of the Father. Have you received the gift of the Father? Have you? Well, I got saved, Pastor. But did you receive the gift of the Father? See, it's a different experience. The moment of indwelling was when we became regenerated and we began to know God. He dwells in us. And God begins to start speaking. For me, I dove into His Word. I couldn't put the Word down. I just, everywhere I was going, a cat jump in the tub, sit on my belly, and I had to push the cat out of the way so I could read the Scriptures. That's supposed to be funny. The cat still does that, but that's what happens in my house. Yeah, it is. Because the Godhead now dwells in us, our bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is not where God dwells. He dwells in us. We just have a place to assemble and invite the community to come and get to know our Father. Given a different perspective of what it means to go to church or to be the church. But to many today, they rely on their emotions, their feelings, and intellect. And because they do, they rely on their soulish nature. They are weak in faith. And I just have to throw a question out there like a stick of dynamite. Ever so innocent. And you guys tell me everything I want to know about your faith. Which I find comedic in a response, because it tells me you're not in a Word, you're not talking to Him, you don't have a real relationship with Him. See, these are the basics of what we should be at this stage. We should not have continued in our infantileness, because God is not going to send kids like Hamas and the rest of those nitwits do to battle. He's sending warriors. Men and women who are fearless for the things of God. I have a book here, Smith Wigglesworth, Ever Increasing Faith. And in this, Smith Wigglesworth, back in the 40s and 50s, he was called the Apostle of Faith. And he said this in this book, "I am 1,000 times larger on the inside than I am on the outside." In other words, he knew God dwelled in him, and God was so big to him that there was nothing that God could do or couldn't do that Smith wasn't willing to be used for. Smith raised 7 people from the dead. He spoke cancer to die in people's bodies. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He delivered the insane. He went into an insane asylum, and the insane asylum went nuts. And he started casting the demons out of these people, and they walked out in their right mind. The only book that Smith ever read was the Scriptures. And his vocation, before he became an apostle, was he was a plumber. Which I find quite comedic in God, because plumbers deal with the dredge of society. They deal with clean water, and basically they had the dirty pipes. And so he was greatly used in deliverance. And some of you are resisting the leading of the Holy Spirit because that's what he wants to do. That very same spirit that dwells in Smith Wigglesworth dwells where? 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 Man, I'm deaf. I can't hear nothing. Get me a Holy Ghost hearing aid. Where does he dwell?
In us.
In us. Right. So if to Smith, his God was 1,000 times bigger inside, how big is your God on the inside? How big is he? If you're allowing circumstances, people, situations to influence you to go away from God, if you're allowing these individuals who are being used by demons instead of taking power and authority over them and casting them out, how big is your God? If you're waiting for pastor to show up at your door to cast out demons and stuff, that may happen, it may not happen. My God is your God who says you can do greater works than he did. And Smith is a testimony of that. So if anybody wants to read it, it's here. John 15, 1 through 8 says, this is the Lord speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Hear this. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. I challenge you to examine your life. Are you bearing fruit? If not, you are in dire straits with the Lord, because he says he will cut you off. If you're bearing fruit and we have pain and stuff, that's okay. He's pruning the garbage from our lives so that he can produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. In other words, live in me and I'll live in you. You're either in Christ or you're not. You're in Christ on Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, you're not. I look at it this way. You're either a Christian or you're not. You're a believer or a make-believer. You choose. And you're more than welcome to be here, but God will sort you out. That's why Catholics have such a difficult time with this, because there's no religious activity. It's about relationship. Karen, you know. You struggled, and we talked, and we prayed, and we cried together. We've done this for 10 years. And look what God has done in your life. Look what Satan has tried to do in your life. Amen. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Again, your relationship. For with me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. Who are they? The angels. You still have time to make right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Because that has everything to do with where streams is going. I'm going to pour myself into people who want the things of God, who want to be educated, and who want to kick the devil out of our Father's kingdom here. He's a squatter in our Father's land. And He has given us the honor and privilege to take back what we gave to Satan. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. The work of the indwelling of the Spirit is to produce fruit of character, to change us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. But you have to be willing to allow Him to change you. And if you resist the Holy Spirit, you are grieving Him. And we are exhorted not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's okay. My friends come over and they show porn on the movies, on the TV when the kids are asleep. It's okay. I'm good with that. It's not affecting me. I'm okay if I curse and I get mad. It's okay. I could do that. Are you in Christ? Well, I'm mad. You know, my emotions are stirred up because of things that are going on. Are you in Christ? Show me in the Scriptures where Christ got all bent out of shape because of circumstances. He only got mad against those who were religious leaders who should have known better. He never got mad at the people. They just weren't taught. I'm teaching you. I want you to be successful. I want you to do greater things than I have asked God for. Because I know that's Jesus' heart for us. But we need His Spirit to produce the fruit in our lives. Oh, that's old fogey stuff. Is it? Look at your life. I look at it. You don't want me to examine it. I get up close and personal when people, Kimmy, you're learning this. Because you and I are like vitamins. One a day. And I relish it. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is, she's chasing after God and she doesn't even know it yet. And she's all apologetic to me. I'm sorry I'm bothering you. You're not bothering me. I'm sorry. You're not bothering me. I know it's a season. When our kids want us, they want us then and there, right? But when they're able to start doing for themselves, they don't depend on mom and dad as much. Right? I know it's a season. Christ in me can endure this season. Hear me. Christ in me can endure. Not Gary. Gary's a basket case. Gary's a loser. Gary can't do anything. But in Jesus Christ, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You see, the reality that I'm trying to get you to understand is that He wants to produce something of quality in you. Jesus said, you are worth it. I will die for you and because you are worth it. Satan says, you're a piece of junk. God hates you. You know, you might as well go back to where you came from. Let me put you back in the shackles that He delivered you from. Let me let you grovel in the slime and the slop and not eat the good things at His table that He provides for you. Let me help you to compromise your value systems. Let me help you fight your husband or your wife and destroy your marriages. Let me destroy your kids. Let me do this. All because, hear me, all because you love yourself more than you love God. I can give you this. So the indwelling is to produce fruit of character. Look at Galatians 5, 20 through 22 and see the fruit. And also look at the fruits of wickedness that are produced in us already because we're filled with sin. And we are to flee those things. Infilling. Infilling is power. Are you tired? Are you tired? Look at your life. Just see what's going on in your life. Are you tired of it? If you're tired of it, then you're in the way. My Bible tells me my life is hidden in Christ Jesus. I don't live, but Christ lives through me. You're tired because you're trying to do it in your strength. You have no power. There was a teaching, and there still is a teaching, it's probably much of the camps of the church today, that what I'm about to say doesn't happen because you have all that you need when you became born again. You had the Father, you had the Son, and there's nothing more. And that's why better than 50% of the church struggles with sin. Because there's no power. They have no power. And so they rely on their carnality. But Pastor, I got baptized in the Spirit. It's not a matter if you got baptized in the Spirit. Did you receive the promise of the Father? Big difference. If Jesus said it, and I'm telling you, how many want power in their lives? All of us do. How many of us have that power in our lives? It's time to be honest. You have to be honest with yourself. Jesus quoted Joel 2:28-29. He said, in the last days, there would be such an outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh that what would happen? Come on, Hal. And young men would see visions. Who in here, and I know who you are, have received visions and dreams, but won't tell me? They are not given for you. Anything that God gives you is not for you unless He specifically tells you that it's for you. Jesus said, wait here until you receive power from on high. You have to receive the Holy Spirit to receive power. And again, I point you back to your life. If your life is not building anything, you're more out of Christ and out of touch with the realities of what's going on than you really realize. If things are marginally happening in your life, but yet you're stepping over that line of compromise, understand, every time you step over that line, you come out of the umbrella of protection. And I've taught you guys about this umbrella of protection. Steve, you were here when we were back in the Republican Club. And I tried to warn you guys that if you chase after fool's gold, you are a fool. You chase after Jesus, you are wise beyond your years. So what is this infilling? What does this infilling do for us? When we become baptized or immersed or filled with power, this power is given to the sons and daughters of the King. To do what? To mobilize your faith and to distribute the power and authority of Jesus Christ that He has vested in each of us and to the local church. You see, that teaching just says all you have is the indwelling. But if you have no power, if you aren't being dwelt and then filled constantly with the Holy Spirit, which requires you to spend time, wait, and receive by faith, you have no power. Now, a sign of receiving the Holy Spirit is what? What? Speak it in tongues. How many of us speak in tongues? Speaking in tongues is your spirit talking to your Father to confuse Satan of the conversation. And your Father will speak back to you, whether in dreams or visions, promptings, and that's what prophetic people is going to do, is teach you how to flow in the Spirit, how to allow the mantles that God has put upon me be imparted to you. Because the mantle isn't meant for me to keep. My mantle is meant to give it away. Okay? And there are five mantles. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I believe that you can flow in and out of these. But some people specifically have these anointings. Okay? But until you do the first things, those things will not happen. I gave you guys a spiritual checklist and your spiritual gifts. How many of you have come to tell me what God has said to you about how to use that? The infilling, here's another nugget for you. Is for service to the body, and it's also to defeat and dismantle Satan's kingdom and replace it with the kingdom of heaven. That's what the power is given for. If I am not serving you, then my service is not one in which you guys are being blessed and encouraged and inspired to become all that you are, does that negate what God wants to do in your life? No, it doesn't. You're right, Steve. Because what happens is, if I pour out and I keep pouring out and I keep pouring out, eventually you're going to get wet. Maybe a couple drops and maybe something because I don't want to get Holy Ghost all over me. But if you want God and you want all that there is of God, you would be like Gomez or Ed or Dan coming and pick my brain. And what we do is we converse. What's God saying to you? Well, He's saying this to me, Pastor. Do you see what He's saying? Oh, I see what's going on. This is what God wants to do in there. And bang, it happens. Once they have the revelation of how it flows, there is no fear. The reason why we don't share these things is because we're afraid. We're afraid that we're going to be wrong. We're afraid we're going to be rejected. We're afraid that we may miss it. My Bible tells me, God has not given me a spirit of fear. What has He given me? Spirit of power. Spirit of a sound mind, which means I'm not crazy. And of love. Everything that happens is through the motivation of the Father's heart to love, to pour out on you, to love other people. The power of God, it isn't for demonstration for the saints. It's for the demonstration to the ain'ts. Those who are far away from God. How many of us have talked to people and all of a sudden we're hearing things or we're being impressed in our spirits that God is saying something about that person that we didn't know about? That's the Holy Spirit. Wants to move you. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. See how love is motivated by the gifts of the Spirit moving. Those gifts are not given to you to prop you up. They're given to bless me and the rest of the church. If all you do is come here hoping that something happens, but you don't invest your life into the one who invested his life and died to show you how much he loves you, I don't know what to tell you. We are not playing church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We have a mandate from heaven to go out and kick the devil's door in and set people free. Deliver them from oppression. Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I could do that. Take it up with him. He says you're going to do it. Remember I said about loneliness? That's a spirit. That spirit is pervasive through the Church of Jesus Christ, and we don't pay attention to it. God has given us His Spirit. Have you received Him? Or does He just dwell in you? You need to take the next step. You need to receive Him in power. In receiving Him, you will have all the power to defeat every temptation. You will have all the power to displace the powers of darkness. You will have the ability to see God 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times bigger than you, because I don't think we could put a number on God, because He's greater than anything I could ever ask or imagine. He is so large. And at the same time, He cares for me personally, as He does for you. Do you want the indwelling? You have Him. The question is, have you received the infilling? And next week, we're going to talk about the anointing. All this is in preparation to eventually create this excitement to receive the Holy Spirit into your life and never look back again. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God. I thank You, God, that You're faithful and you're ever so patient with us, Father, to teach us the difference and to show us the lie, God, that baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and much needed experience that every believer needs. God, produce Jesus Christ. Produce the Christ-likeness in us, God, but also produce in us that spirit of love and power and a sound mind. That we can honestly say, God, that our rally call of Revelations 12:11, we overcame the adversary by the word of the testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and we didn't even care about our lives, because our lives are hidden in You, God. And so there's nothing stopping us. Father, I just pray that this would be a reality to Your saints. That this thirst for more of you, God. We begin to rise up, cause a bubbling, a dissatisfaction. God, I pray that you create a holy hunger in your people for more of you, God. So much more, God, we cannot exhaust you. It is true, we have all that you have, but we don't have all that we need. And so, God, I pray we get out of ourselves and into you and be about your business. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.